From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, we are delighted to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. I want to mention just a couple of things about apologetics as we get started. As we move into what has been best described as post-Christian America, it is increasingly important for Christians to know not only what they believe, but why they believe it as well. The Apostle Peter put it this way, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect. Just as a good attorney defends a client in a court of law by presenting solid evidence and sound reasoning, so too apologists defend the truth of Christianity through well-reasoned answers to the questions of skeptics and seekers alike. Apologetics, as such, is the handmaiden to evangelism. It is using your logical answers as springboards or as opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. The Christian faith is not blind faith, but rather faith firmly rooted in history and evidence. Apologetics also is post-evangelism. In the swirling waves of doubt and despair that often threaten to submerge our faith, it is crucial to be familiar with the pillars or posts on which our faith is founded, namely that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is God through the immutable fact of his resurrection, and that the Bible is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And that, of course, in a nutshell, is what apologetics is all about. And remember, if you're looking for a truly rewarding experience, try becoming an apologist, a defender of the faith. Not only will you experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, but you may just find yourself in the middle of an angelic praise gathering when you've helped a lost son or daughter of Adam find his or her way into the kingdom of God. I've written about apologetics in many different places, but the three great apologetic issues, again, the issue of origins, the issue of resurrection, and finally, the issue of demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. My three books in this regard are the Creation Answer Book, that's a book for origins, the book Resurrection, and then finally, Has God Spoken? A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Jim. He's listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
L. Ron Hubbard, how dangerous do you think his Scientology and Dianetics, and, you know, he used to be a science fiction writer, and they say it's a non-Christian cult, mind-control sort of thing. How dangerous do you think they are?
Well, I think it's a very dangerous cult in that they teach that humans are immortal thetans that are trapped in a physical universe of their own mental construction, and therefore humans aren't sinners in need of a savior, but immortal beings who can overcome the accumulation of trillions of years of painful subconscious memories through what they have developed as the process of auditing. And this is a counseling process through which devotees can locate and resolve traumatic experiences and experience spiritual enlightenment. Just as you say, this is nothing more than just wild imagination in science fiction. And of course, in the process is a rejection of creation, of original sin, and of salvation through Jesus Christ. In their view, unless you go through this auditing process that they've contrived, you're resigned forever to a continuous cycle of reincarnation. And in order to escape this vicious cycle, you have to become self-actualized through the pseudo-psychology of Scientology.
So they're a Hindu philosophy, basically?
Yeah. Their supreme being does bear a remarkable resemblance to the Brahman of Hinduism.
They don't claim to be Christian, right?
No, not at all. They are a science fiction cult, as you have very well described. And when we use the word cult, we're always very careful to establish that word in two different ways. One is sociologically, the other is theologically. And I'm speaking about a group of people who deny essential Christian doctrine. So they are theologically aberrant.
So the Mormons would be a Christian cult? As opposed to the Scientology?
Well, Mormonism is a unique case in that they claim to be Christian, but again, they deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Scientology doesn't claim to be Christian. Again, their whole worldview is antithetical to the biblical worldview, and they know that, and they certainly are very fond of communicating that. But that's not the same situation with Mormonism. Mormonism wants to say that we are a Christian religion and oftentimes wants to obfuscate the differences between what they're teaching and what the historic Christian faith is taught.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeremy listening in Ada, Oklahoma. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, my question is, I work with a lot of non-believers, and in doing so, you know, we get to talk a little bit about Christ and just the validity of the Bible. Essentially, my question would be, working with an atheist and talking to them about Scripture, how would you make that leap from getting them to also realize and understand that the Bible is also a true and historical document, that it's not, you know, something that we created.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're dealing with an atheist, the first thing to be able to demonstrate in a cohesive and a compelling fashion would be the issue of origins. I've often said how one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. If you think you're a function of random chance, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him. And remember that those that live in an atheistic worldview, they are fatalistically determined by that worldview, which is to say, what happens in their life is a function of brain chemistry and genetics. In a Christian worldview, our lives are not at all fatalistically determined. So I think the issue of origins is of paramount importance. So you need to demonstrate the utter implausibility of suggesting in an age of scientific enlightenment that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. But once you've established that it makes not only good scientific sense, but good common sense to believe that there is a God, you can also, therefore, demonstrate that God revealed Himself in time and space, not only through the person and work of Jesus Christ, but through 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. And to that end, you can build a cumulative case for the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin through the manuscript evidence buttressing the Word of God, through archaeological evidence, in other words, the people, places, and particulars that are found in the soil correspond to what is found in the biblical text, through prophecy, which cannot be pawned off to good guessing or luck or common sense, and also through what I call scriptural lights. In other words, if you read the Bible correctly, you find that it is a cohesive whole that corresponds to reality. And I've written a book that does all of that. It's titled, Has God Spoken? And in this book, you'll find memorable proofs for the divine inspiration of Scripture.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And again, the book, has God spoken is very important because the issue ultimately becomes, what is your authority? I mentioned Mormonism earlier. Their authority is the Book of Mormon. Now, they have a quad, but their principal authority is the Book of Mormon in that they say it is the most correct of any book on earth and therefore has become the keystone to their religion. We would say, no, that's simply not correct. What you find in the Book of Mormon does not correspond to reality. What you find in the Bible corresponds to reality. So the Bible is, in fact, the most correct of any book on earth, and it is the keystone to our religion. But you can argue this, you can make dogmatic assertions with respect to this, but ultimately you have to demonstrate that this is, in fact, true. And I do that in Has God Spoken? Check it out on the web at equip.org. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Austin, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Thanks. Hey, listen, I go to a great Bible-believing church here in Austin, and although our church doesn't really teach this stuff, I have a lot of friends that have bought land and stored food and done all these things. And I thought, you know, as a leader of my family, do I need to be preparing? They're telling me, hey, you know, we don't know the date, but the Bible does say, like, we're supposed to know the season. And so I don't know if I'm, like, supposed to be doing these things like these guys are, or what does the Bible say about that?
Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about it whatsoever. What the Bible tells us is that history will continue like a woman in the pangs of birth. There are times where the birth pains are very strong, and there are times where they recede. In like fashion, there are times of relative want and times of great prosperity, and so it will be until the time that Jesus appears a second time. But we have no idea when that is going to happen. So we have to be prudent in everything that we do, but ultimately, I think what's even more important is that we learn how to depend on the arm of God and not on the arm of flesh. And remember, all the doomsday predictors have been wrong 100% of the time. Remember Y2K, people were buying generators and they were moving out of town and they were buying freeze-dried food and they're taking all these precautions, and then nothing happened. The only thing they succeeded in doing is embarrassing themselves, because they thought that there was a way in which they could correlate the events of the book of Revelation with current events. So it is as though they had the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and they're trying to predict what was going to happen when. And of course, 2000 was a magical year for them, the reason being that many of them thought that 1967 was a magical start date, and 40 years from that, you'd get to 2007, and then subtract 7 for a tribulation, you get to the year 2000. So there are a lot of people misinformed on how to read the Bible for all it's worth that predicted that 2000 would be a seminal day of destruction and chaos, particularly in the West. Well, it turned out to be false once again, and so now you have these doomsday predictors like Jack Van Impe, who says, well, yeah, I mean, we got pretty much everything right except generation is 51.2 years. So I wouldn't pay attention to these people, because the one thing we know absolutely 100% with certainty, and that is we have no idea whatsoever when the Lord Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And the passages that talk about the season really are not talking about the season of his second appearing, but rather of his coming in judgment on Jerusalem, which is a fulfilled prophecy. So I wouldn't confuse that with what's going to happen when Jesus appears a second time. The Bible simply does not tell us when that is going to happen. We should prepare for that as though it could happen any moment, and be prepared as though it might be a long way off. In the meantime, be faithful and fruitful, just as we are exhorted to do in the book of Revelation. We're going to suffer for a little while. Our vindication will be an eternal vindication.
Thanks, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Quick question. In the book of Matthew somewhere, I'm in a car right now, so I can't look it up, Jesus is saying to his disciples, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and do many mighty works and miracles? And he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's one of the more scary scriptures to me, and I was just curious as to who you believe those people would be that he's talking about.
Well, I think in the historical context, Jesus may well, in the Sermon on the Mount here, have been talking about someone like Judas, who performed miracles, drove out demons, and communicated the gospel. And yet Jesus looked beyond the externalities and saw that Judas was not there because he loved the master, but rather Judas was there because he loved what was on the master's table. But in principle, it applies to anyone in any epoch of time who has a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. And remember the context of this where Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them." And then he says, "Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Which is to say that while we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved unto good works. Now, we're not the perfect fruit inspectors. Jesus Christ is, and therefore Jesus can inspect fruit perfectly. We can easily be fooled. But it's not enough to say, "Lord, Lord." It is that we should take up our cross and daily follow him, demonstrating that we are genuine disciples. And remember, Jesus is speaking here to people who are going to suffer the mother of all tribulations. And he's telling them, you know, take up your cross, follow me, and you will have a reward in the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You got it, Bob. And with you, I would say it is one of the scariest passages in all of Scripture. Let's go to Darren, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Darren.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm really good. Thank you. Hank, first of all, I just want to say that I listen to you a lot, and I just think that everything you say is so great, and I'm just, I'm nervous.
Well, bless you. Okay. Thank you for that wonderful word. You've encouraged
me. Yes, and I just also pray for you, and I just hope that God just blesses you so much.
Thank you.
The question that I was wondering about was that a friend of mine told me recently that, like, ghosts were actually, like, demons or, like, bad spirits, because I never thought that they were real. I thought that it was just something that somebody had made up. And I just kind of was wondering what you thought on the whole ghost.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Darren. The Bible makes clear that the souls of the departed are either comforted in the presence of God or in agony absence his loving presence. But just as Lazarus was not permitted to return to the land of the living, the Bible makes it dead clear that those who have passed do not inhabit this realm. In fact, that very notion is said to be detestable to the Lord, the notion that there could be a ghost or poltergeist, which means a noisy ghost. So we should note that while the spirits of the dead do not inhabit the land of the living, as you point out in your question, demonic spirits are more than pleased to play on the field of superstition. And ghosts only exist in mythology, but demons are more than happy to feed our sub-biblical delusions. So I love the way you started the question, you phrased the question, because this is, from a biblical perspective, mythology. But we have to be very aware that demons are real. They can't manifest in physical form. Angels can, according to God's prerogative, but demons cannot. They don't have creative power. But they are nonetheless very real, and they do, as it were, sit on our shoulder and whisper into our ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 exhorts us to put on the full armor of God. And when we do, we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Okay. Yeah, because I myself have never, like, feared any kind of any of those, like, witches or ghosts or anything like that. But I saw, like, on some TV show that, like, you know, these people, you know, there are a lot of TV shows about, like, ghost hunting and stuff, and now they'll, like, capture them on camera or on film, and these this one lady in particular was so scared because she thought that she heard, like, a little girl ghost, like, talking to her, and she got it on the tape, and so that's why I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe if it was anything at all, because the lady seemed really sincere and, like, being scared, but if it was anything at all, it was probably just, it really could have been, like, a demon that, you know, saw that she was playing into it and wanted to make us beautiful. And especially, like, if you think that there could be a, like, middle ground between heaven and hell, then that gets you, like, occupied, and you're not thinking about, well, is there a God that I need to believe in? Like, is there going to be some bad place that I'm going to have to go, you know?
Yeah, well, the bottom line of all of this is test all things, but remember, experiences are notoriously unreliable. When you test them in light of the Word of God, we know that ghosts are mythology, but demons are real. In fact, I've written about this in my book, Afterlife. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.